Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Very Remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, December 23rd, 2021. President Salva Kiir sends a delegation to investigate civil servant strikes in Jonglei State.
So in the implementation process, some states and even some national government ministries did not quite implement. And this has happened also in Jonglei State.
And transport fares have jumped up in the South Sudan capital, Juba, during the Christmas festivities.
When we get opportunity to get someone who will agree with us to pay 7,000, we'll pay. So that 8,000 is not really easy. You can see us standing here with all our bags and waiting forward to seeing someone.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A committee tasked by President Salva Kiir to investigate the root causes of the civil servants' protests in the Jonglei State capital Bor has ordered the state government to pay public servants according to the new salary structure. The protesters are also urging the national government to hold Jonglei State officials accountable. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has this report from Bor.
2 weeks ago, hundreds of Jonglei State employees rejected their salaries and staged demonstrations to protest what they termed the state's modified salary structure, which does not follow the salary structure ordered by the National Labor and Public Service Ministry 2 months ago. A week ago, civil servants temporarily called off their strike after the state officials agreed to meet all of their demands. But the demonstrations resumed on Tuesday when protesters paralyzed traffic by blocking the Bor High Strip and the Juba Bor Highway after government officials failed to live up to their commitments. John Itrong, the head of the delegation sent from Juba to address Jonglei civil servants' crisis, says the Jonglei civil servants' demands are legitimate. Itrong says his team traveled to Bor to ensure that state officials fully implement the 100% salary increment announced a month ago by the national government.
By the 10th anniversary, His Excellency the President of the Republic gave a gift to the people of South Sudan that they should be paid 100% salaries. So in the implementation process, some states and even some national government ministries did not quite implement. And this has happened also in Jonglei State.
Itrong says he directed the Jonglei officials to fully implement President Salva Kiir's directives and pay civil servants according to the new salary structure. Itrong also urged Jonglei State civil servants to end their public demonstrations and return to work. He says the national government will stand with the civil servants to ensure their grievances are addressed.
The demonstration has been ongoing for 2 weeks. It was calm all along. Even at the airport, we were blocked, and I addressed them, saying we have come precisely to address the issue of your salaries. So this is the situation. We want to congratulate the worker trade union of Jonglei, mm-hmm. saying they can be patient and receive their salaries by the 27th up to the 29th.
On Wednesday, after meeting with the Juba delegation, Jonglei State Acting Governor Tuang Majuk said the state government had again agreed to release funds and pay civil servants their full salaries, including additional allowances according to the new salary structure.
Since yesterday we have been talking over this issue, and at the end this morning the state has accepted to pay a nature of work allowance to our civil population. This is what we have agreed.
Wiwal Gatkwal, the Jonglei State Minister of Finance, says the state has completed all calculations for allowances under the new salary structure. But he says he needs 7 days to put the necessary arrangements in place for paying the salaries. He says the state used some of the national grant funds transferred from Juba on state security operations.
We have passed through and every details of the grant transfer from Juba or from the national government. We found there is a deficit of almost 52 million that we need to cover these national work allowances. So it forced the state government now to look into the resources, the local collections that we collect from our markets and the NGOs and even the civil servant here to cater for this deposit.
Samuel Majer, the Secretary General of the Jonglei State Workers Trade Union, welcomed Juba's intervention. Majer says state workers will call off the strike for now out of respect to the Juba delegation.
We have reached an agreement with the government. We appreciate the delegation come from Juba and the state government to make these days is fruitful to us. The point we agree today, we agree that our salary is going to be paid fully with allowances. Now the state government is going to prepare himself until on 27 we are going to start the payment of our salaries. That as a civil workers trade union, we appreciate that and we welcome that issue.
Bure Mabate, representative of teachers in Jonglei State, says he has reservations because Jonglei State officials are known for making empty promises.
Seeing the breach is addressed, we will keep monitoring. The strike is now suspended for a while. As trade union, we will keep watching up to from day 27, 28, up to day 29. If the government pay a day here, they went to disgrant this agreement. The civilian have right to claim. They will go back for a strike on day 30th, continuing up to next year.
Itrong says the national government, through the Ministry of Public Service, Labor and Human Resource Development, will make sure civil servants in Jonglei and other states receive their salaries with full allowances under the new salary structure. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor, Jonglei State.
The cost of transportation have risen considerably on routes linking South Sudan's capital Juba to other towns across the country. On Wednesday, transportation prices from Juba to the town of Nimule on the South Sudan-Uganda border ranged from 7,000 to 8,000 South Sudanese pounds. Buses transporting passengers on the Juba-Kampala route increased their fares from 20,000 to 30,000 South Sudanese pounds. The chairperson of the Nimule Drivers Association says transport fares have shot up due to fuel prices. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Abdullahi James and his brother were carrying heavy bags at the Juba Nimule taxi park as they tried to catch a ride with a taxi. They say they haggled with taxi drivers for a lower fare to the Nimule border crossing point. James called the higher transportation fares unfair.
When we get opportunity to get someone who will agree with us to pay 7,000, we will pay. So that 8,000 is not really easy. You can see us standing here with all our bags and waiting forward to seeing someone who will accept negotiation at least we can pay 7. So an average person to pay 8,000 to Nimule is not really an easy thing. It really can cause financial crisis during Christmas and after, you know.
Munuki resident Patrick Daniel lives in Nimule and was returning home for Christmas for the first time in several years. Daniel says he is looking forward to his visit despite the high cost of transportation.
Every year towards Christmas, the fare increases. Some people traveled at 5,000 like a week ago. Some people yesterday 7,000, today is 8,000. I believe by tomorrow it might be even 10 or 15. It's not fair because a lot of people are going this side to Nimule and maybe crossing the border to Uganda has become compulsory to many of the people. Whatever the price, whatever the condition, they will sacrifice anything to go.
Cross-border transportation fares had been relatively stable for several months along the Juba-Nairobi route. Simon Kasini is a driver with Simba Coach.
I have not seen people complaining about the high price, but it is normal fares they pay and the price has been $100 from Juba to Nairobi. We have not changed the prices. Besides, people are very many.
For an outbound Trinity bus from Juba to Kampala, passengers on Wednesday were paying bus drivers between 25 and 30,000 South Sudanese pounds. Driver Mangar McCork says prices are not fixed due to the fluctuation in the number of people traveling.
The reason why we don't fix...
Actually, the reason as to why our prices are not fixed is because at times we get clients and at times we don't. So we also want to get back the loss we made. But it depends on your destination. Maybe Kampala, Bweyale, Kamdini, also Nairobi is 40,000.
34-year-old Ajua Agnes is the only female taxi driver in the park. She attributes the hike in prices to the surge in the number of people traveling home for Christmas.
Last year, I used not to come to the park. I was picking people up from home to home, and you could take 7 people and earn 70 South Sudanese pounds. But now, at the park, you can take 7 people and charge 8,000 per person.
Jackson Gada, chairperson of the Nimule Drivers Union, says transport fares have shot up this season due to an increase in the price of fuel.
Before December, you know, our price is normally towards 7,000 per ticket. But because of this crisis, and you can see the cars, we are lacking the cars, and passengers are many. We do not decrease the price because the passengers are many, but we increase because the fuel prices, even they have increased it. Before it was 350, but now in some petrol station you can get it in 400, 420.
That's a liter?
Yeah, in a liter, per liter. So that's why we increase the price.
Several bus drivers say transport fares from Juba to Nimule have increased by between 1,000 to 3,000 South Sudanese pounds. They say the increase is aimed at helping bus owners and operators cover the cost of higher fuel prices. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Sudan, where the European Union has donated 10 million euros to the United Nations World Food Programme in Sudan to provide life-saving food assistance to the most vulnerable communities across the country. WFP officials say the funding comes at a critical time when humanitarian needs in Sudan are expected to reach an all-high in 2022. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The EU announced the 10 million euro donation this week as part of its effort to respond to the urgent needs of vulnerable Sudanese communities. In a statement, Wim Frensen, head of the European Union Civil Protection and Humanitarian Aid Operations Office in Sudan, said, "We are stepping up humanitarian support for those most in need in Sudan." Frensen said, "This year's humanitarian needs continue to grow in Sudan due to a protracted economic crisis, which was exacerbated by COVID-19, as well as increase in security and intercommunal violence, coupled with floods, disease outbreaks, and an influx of refugees and asylum seekers." Marion Ward, acting World Food Programme representative and country director in Sudan, welcomes the EU contribution, saying the support could not have come at a more crucial moment. Ward says the WFP urgently needs to increase its assistance to meet the basic food needs for more than 9 million people in 2022. Ward says the WFP is facing an unprecedented funding shortfall of $358 million to maintain operations in Sudan over the next 6 months, which includes pre-positioning food ahead of the rainy season.
"We are just so extremely grateful for this contribution, but additional resources from other partners are really critical at this time. The needs are enormous, and food stocks and cash are likely to run out starting early next year. Time is running out to get food delivered to some of the most remote areas, which will become inaccessible during the upcoming rainy season."
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Sudan, or UN OCHA, says about 14.3 million people across the country are estimated to be in need of humanitarian assistance in 2022. UN OCHA says, according to the 2022 Humanitarian Response Plan, it will need $1.9 million to provide assistance and support the Sudan's most vulnerable people, including internally displaced persons and refugees being hosted by Sudan. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum, the WFP's head of communications and public relations, Lenny Kensley, says while international donor partners like the EU are stepping up their contributions, the WFP is forced to reduce aid or suspend certain activities because funding levels are not keeping pace with the rising humanitarian needs in 2022.
There are an estimated 10.9 million people in need of urgent food security or livelihoods assistance, including 1.1 million refugees. Essentially, one in four people in Sudan are facing an alarming food crisis.
Kinsley says in 2021, the EU contributed 3.5 million euros to the WFP managed UN humanitarian air service in Sudan, which has enabled WFP to transport more than 21,000 humanitarian workers to 38 hard-to-reach locations where they provided life-saving services over the past year. Despite these donations, Kinsley says the WFP is still concerned about the growing level of food shortages in Sudan, including malnutrition children.
Across the country, an average of 13.6% of children under the age of five suffer from malnutrition. In some areas, the prevalence of global acute malnutrition is as high as 30% or above. Catastrophic levels, according to the World Health Organization.
Earlier this week, the Norwegian Refugee Council, or NRC, in Sudan expressed concern over the deteriorating humanitarian situation in West Darfur's Jebel Moon area and surrounding villages. NRC officials in Khartoum said more than 10,000 people, mostly women and children, were displaced due to recent intercommunal violence and are in urgent need of humanitarian assistance. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, some event organizers in the South Sudan capital cry foul over government decisions to impose COVID-related restrictions. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Some event organizers in Juba say the government should focus on educating the public about the coronavirus pandemic and its preventive measures rather than locking down the country. South Sudan's COVID-19 task force announced a partial lockdown on Tuesday aimed at reducing the spread of the virus. One event organizer says people rarely adhere to the measures imposed by the government. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino has more from Juba.
Denaya Dennis, a gospel artist based in Juba, says he and his colleagues have organized a gospel concert in Juba and in Yei from the 25th to the 1st of January and are expecting a large turnout. Dennis says when he heard of the partial lockdown, he was worried it would affect their event, but he says he later read a circular which states that all places of worship, social gatherings and entertainment outlets must reinforce their preventive guidelines on COVID, something he says his event organizers will do. But Dennis says the partial lockdown may not work.
I've had lockdowns which were announced previously, and I can say that they have not really been effective. And I still have the doubt, and I still wonder whether people will still adhere to the, you know, to the lockdown instructions. Just yesterday I was in the market, and I see people the same. I see, you know, people doing the same things. The congestion in the market, I mean, when announcing the lockdown, it is also another thing to enforce, to make sure everybody, adheres to the restrictions that are put. But it's not happening.
Dennis says he had a number of conversations with people, and most people believe coronavirus is here to stay. He says people he talked to say that if they fall sick, they believe they will be fine, so there is no need for any lockdown. Dennis says it's unfortunate that at times officials of the very government that imposes these rules don't follow them.
If the government announces a lockdown or partial lockdown, that means the example should come from them. But I have seen a series of events where the same government people, they attend such events. But then I would say people see what is happening on those public places. It's like if the government does not take, the serious measures as they have announced, then the people here are reluctant.
Dennis is calling on the National COVID-19 Task Force to always ask the public what best can work in the context of South Sudan before rushing to make decisions. Apio Kevin, another event organizer who is hosting an exhibit featuring Uganda artists, besides some South Sudanese artists in Juba December 24th and 25th, says the partial lockdown has forced them to reduce the number of participants at the show.
Before the lockdown, when we estimated a number of people, we looked at having around 100 or 150 or even 200 people. That is for Nauta's launch. But again, we are reducing it. Right now, we have even stopped selling tickets because now, since they got issued out, we decided to stop selling the tickets because the number of tickets we sold, it's enough for Nauta's. And then on 25th, which is a Saturday, it's going to be a daytime show abroad.
Kevin urges the government to be considerate when issuing such orders, as event organizers spend a considerable amount of money to hire people and buy equipment which can only be compensated by the number of people who attend the events.
They would have provided what is supposed to be done. Like, for example, giving out the first masters, which is very important, and then telling us how to use it up to today. Meaning, there are some people who do not even know how to use first mask. You find someone is using the first mask which has been used since yesterday, and the person is using it today. You find someone is not even using sanitizer, then you have to be like, I don't know what is that.
Earlier this week, the COVID-19 National Task Force imposed new restrictions, including a partial lockdown, to enforce the public to comply with measures aimed at reducing the spread of the virus after a spike in cases was reported across the country in recent days. On Wednesday, South Sudan recorded 273 new positive cases, leading to a total of 14,275 confirmed cases. Two deaths were documented, resulting to a total of 135 deaths due to COVID-19 since the pandemic began. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Still on COVID, a study by South Africa's National Institute for Communicable Diseases, also known as NICD, appears to confirm anecdotal evidence from doctors and hospitals that the Omicron variant is causing less severe disease than previous forms of COVID-19. But the authors have warned that Omicron could behave differently in countries with conditions not similar to South Africa. The NICD scientists have been studying Omicron since local genetic sequences identified it 4 weeks ago. Darren Taylor reports for VOA from Johannesburg.
The study authors say one of the reasons for the less severe cases being seen in South Africa's Omicron wave could be the country's young population. Median age in South Africa is just 27.6 years, while it's well over 40 in many European countries, for example. Older age groups are more susceptible to serious COVID-19. The NICD's Professor Cheryl Cohen said at a news conference Wednesday that unvaccinated patients make up almost 90% of Omicron-related deaths recorded in the country in the past month.
And the vaccines really do appear to be robust in terms of preventing the severe outcomes, including hospitalizations and deaths. So I think this is very positive data. And I think the important thing is really that everyone who hasn't yet been vaccinated should really go out and get their vaccine or their booster or their second dose, whatever they're eligible for, but they haven't had yet, to make sure that they're protected against these severe outcomes.
The study says the lower proportion of serious illness in the Omicron wave could also be because about 70% of people in South Africa have previously been exposed to COVID-19 and thus have underlying immunity.
What it means is that this is really affecting the appearance of the disease now, because we know that if you have a breakthrough infection with vaccination, it's less severe. The same is likely with previous infection. And so people who've had previous infection, they might catch Omicron because we do see the so-called immune escape, but it goes on to become less severe.
When the Omicron outbreak was identified in South Africa about a month ago, it looked as if it was infecting more children than previous variants. Cohen says this now appears to have been an aberration.
I don't think actually it was ever a higher number of children that were infected. I think what we saw is that the proportion of severe cases in children was more compared to adults. So some of this apparent shift to children could actually just be that there are lots of Omicron cases in the population that aren't diagnosed because they're very, very mild. And so we're sort of seeing this overflow into children. That trend where very early on it looked like there were proportionately more children, that's really coming down and sort of normalizing. So the proportion of children...
Cohen says because COVID-19 is mutating all the time into variants with different characteristics, it's not allowing enough people to become fully immune to it, which means it's not going away anytime soon.
That's not going to happen ever with these new versions of COVID that are more infectious. But that doesn't mean that population immunity isn't contributing to reducing the spread of disease or the severity of the disease. So the hope is that going forward, these immune effects, if there are subsequent waves, that they are lower and less severe, and that COVID should start to become more like other respiratory viruses. So they don't go away, but they have a season like flu, comes in the winter every year, but it's, you know, doesn't have this huge effect in terms of disruption and some of the public health measures.
Cohen, however, cautions that COVID-19 is highly unpredictable, and the possibility of another extremely contagious variant following Omicron is not unrealistic. That's why she says it's so important for the entire world to be fully vaccinated, not just the wealthier nations, because COVID-19 will mutate far easier in populations that haven't been immunized. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Gaga Mururo. Listening to Mede Musica and the song Gaga Mururo. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. do not escape from quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm